Hello, this is William Hairwagon, Chair of the WBAI Committee of Inclusion. Today is October 5, 2020. It's a Monday evening, 7 p.m., or a little after now, and we're starting our Committee of Inclusion meeting. So let's start with a roll call. I'll read off the names.
Is somebody got to mute?
Oh, somebody's got a background noise. That's a lot of people talking.
I'm going to put you on mute because I'm actually out in the backyard.
Okay. And then, but your name is going to come up in a minute, so let's see. See if I can read my own writing here. Well, let me just go to the agenda and it'd be easier to read the names from there. Okay. I have Nando Alberici. Maybe not yet. Maria Barreto was just speaking. Here. Yes, present. Jonathan Carter. No. William Hairwagon, that's me. Yes, I'm here. Hazel Pinder. Heard you earlier.
Here. Hazel Pinder, sorry.
Okay. Ralph Pointer.
I'm here.
Very good. Serene Roberts.
Present.
Thank you. And Terry St. Clair. No, I guess. Michael D.D. White.
Here.
Thank you. And Laura Wiggins. Guess not. So let's see. Let me just 10 names. Okay, so we needed six, and we have six. So we have quorum, and I put the agenda in an email and on the KPFTX calendar just before the meeting. So if anybody wants to see it, our first item was to start, and then two was take attendance. Three is self-introductions. So let's just start from the alphabet backwards. Michael D.D. White.
Michael D.D. White, and I am on the local station board. I come to WBAI with an interest in communication and free speech and to be dealing with the suppression thereof. People may know me a lot from our activism with citizens defending libraries and preventing the sale and shutdown of libraries, elimination of books and librarians.
Okay, thank you. Serene Roberts.
So I am a former member of the local and national board, former staff person, presently, and always a listener. I remain in that category. I am interested in making sure that WBI is doing the most it can to reach out to our very diverse listening area. And while, you know, not every single person might feel themselves represented in the specificity of where they were born, we, I believe, as a station, should be aiming to make sure that the broadest possible reach in terms of the issues that we cover and as much as possible the communities that make up the listening area do feel that they have a home and an interest in WBAI. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. And then Ralph Pointer.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. As I was explaining on a program yesterday, a program of people trying to start a new political entity. And I introduced myself as someone who has 60-plus years working to organize. I went to my first meeting at 5 years old, union meeting, in Western Pennsylvania. And I guess all of you are too young to remember names like John L. Lewis, Walter Reuther, Mimi. This is the beginning of the union movement. And I was on the ground, basic as a teacher in New York City, 1962, organizing the union. 1963, I was opposing the union because their policies were racist, and et cetera. And I like to think that every viable movement I was a part of, and now as a person involved in the new abolitionist movement, the Lynn Stewart Organization, for years I've recognized community radio as a very important element in any struggle, and recognizing that there are those among us who would like to see it gone. And the only conclusion I can draw, and I draw that conclusion from their actions. And so I'm very much involved in seeing it stay, grow, and be instituted into the community for real. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ralph. And actually, I remember those labor names. I didn't know much about them, but I remember the names. Okay. Hazel Pinder.
Hi, this is Hazel. I'm a longtime listener, over 30 years, 35, and I love and care about this station. I'm also a board member, and, I volunteer. I remember answering phones for pledges back in the day, and I love BAI, and, I want to keep it on the air, and I agree with what everyone said. There are people that are trying to, sabotage the station, and I want to keep it going.
Okay, thank you. I'll go last. Maria Barreto.
Well, hello, everyone, and my name is Maria Barreto. I'm on WBAI with Nando Alberici on Consejo Latino every Sunday now from 3 to 6, and I've been with the station for 2 years, but I've always been a listener, and I have really focused on, because I'm bilingual, born in New York City in Spanish Harlem and the Lower East Side, I've been trying to enhance the opportunity for new listeners, new BAI buddies, new donations, and I do all the social media. That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Okay, thank you very much. Anybody else?
Excuse me there, William. Excuse me. Where did you live on the Lower East Side?
On 4th Street and 2nd Avenue.
I'll be damned. 4th Street and 2nd Avenue. Well, I was on Pitt Street in Houston for 32 years.
Oh, okay. Well,
maybe in some of the school struggles we met.
I'm sure we have walked I'm a little old grandma, so I've been around for a long time. And I went.
Excuse me? You recognize my name?
I recognize your name because also I ran for community school board member in 1978 for a 3-year term. And make a long story short, I've been, pretty much a community activist since I was a little kid. I remember at 7 years old helping to fold flyers and doing mailings for Anthony DeFalco back when I was only 7 years old. So I remember being sworn in by Percy Sutton. And, I've been involved in the community and politics and, but I've been focusing a lot on getting new listeners and new donations for WBAI.
You remember
and
Louis
Fuentes? I advocate every day. Huh?
You remember Louis Fuentes?
I remember, of course. I remember him. Absolutely.
I was very much a part of getting him installed in PS1.
Wow, that's amazing.
The Latino community came to me in 1971, I believe, right after I got out of jail. And they says, what do you have against Puerto Ricans? And my answer was, how could you think of something like that? And they said, well, you've made 4 principles of color, and you never installed a Latino principle. So I said, well, who do you have in mind? and Louis Fuentes is there. So he introduced me. This was like on a Wednesday. So I said, well, to get together, because I had held meetings, street meetings on the Lower East Side. Some turned violent and, you know, like street meetings in the old way, the old time. And
right.
I says, well, just come Monday, we're going to be in front of PS1 and have Louis Fuentes, Mr. Fuentes ready. So that Friday, they came to me and they said, Ralph, we told them you were coming. So that, and Mr. Fuentes becomes principal. And then over to Brownsville.
Yeah, I remember all the principals and all the schools in the Lower East Side, and even McElwain from Junior High School 56, and all of these guys. I remember each and every one of them. But make a long story short, I have focused with helping the station get new listeners, modernize it a little bit with the verbiage, and being bilingual, I do bring a lot to the table. So whatever I can do to help,
I make
myself available.
I apologize for going down memory lane.
Let's continue with the introductions. Anybody else join the call that hasn't spoken yet? No. Okay. So last then of this group is me, William Hairwagon. Been hanging around the station for 15, 16 years. Listener much longer, probably back sometime in the 70s, I guess. And I've been on I was on the local station board for 6 years, then off for a year as required, and then back again. So maybe it's 7 or 8 years involved in the actual governance. And here I am, chairing a committee. And let's hope we can do something to make the station better. And that was the conclusion of number three. If anybody else joins, we'll let them introduce themselves too. And then number four is to try for us to figure out how to identify what tasks. Well, it says identify tasks, tools, and volunteers.
Serene for the staff.
Okay, you want to address that? Go right ahead, Serene.
Okay. So without reading it, because it's actually kind of a long-ish hi, everybody. without reading the whole section of the bylaws, we're basically charged. I mean, I could do that if you guys want, but I think you're familiar with it because I know it was on the application. I'll find it, though, in case somebody wants to hear it again. I think that our basic role is to identify to examine the listening area, examine the staffing, examine the program grid. The aim is to make sure that we are inclusive of the various, demographics in our listening area, and to make recommendations to the board if we see, underrepresented groups. To bring suggestions to the board and the management on how that situation could be corrected. So in terms that WBI hasn't had a terribly active COI. I remember many years ago we did. We're kind of fortunate because we will have new numbers as we continue our work, because this is a census year. A lot of the data, obviously, that we're going to begin working with, though, will be the old data from 2010, which didn't stop in 2010, right? Because they continue to collect more information. So we're not necessarily working with 10-year-old information in every case. But a lot of our work, there are some people who join the committee, I understand, who do not have regular internet access and email access. None of them are on the call today, but they were all contacted. So I don't think we need to necessarily have a very long meeting tonight. I think we should maybe break up the tasks, and or maybe people can pair up to do the work. But, for example, to look at the breakdown of the programming, look at the demographic and ethnographic information we have in our listening area, which is New York, much of New Jersey, parts of a very small part of Pennsylvania, but we do have people who hear us in Pennsylvania, and same for Connecticut. So, it depends on what your interests are and what your strengths are, but I think we can talk about looking at the census, looking at other groups that have taken that basic data and crunched it even more. There are a lot of schools in, a lot of colleges in this area that have done that kind of work. And, of course, there's our program grid and our staff.
Yep, that's what we'll be trying to compare it to. Compare our, this is William, I'm sorry. Were you done, Serene? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we'll be trying to compare, what is it, the boards, the elections, the staff, two demographics, the geographics, to see if we're anywhere near comparison to the community at large. So that's tools and some tasks. Anybody else have any ideas what we should what this Committee of Inclusion should be trying to do, what tasks we might try to tackle in the future?
Michael White to the stack.
Go ahead, Michael.
I'm wondering about there's defining the listening community in terms of the terrestrial range of the signal. And Pacifica has 5 stations across the country, and then affiliates. We also have a internet presence, and so there are people who are part of the community by choice through the internet, and I'm wondering how we deal with looking at those demographics in terms of considering who's to be brought in or not, on the basis of the internet listenership.
Okay, this is William. My guess, my opinion, is that we should really be addressing our terrestrial, if that's I'm saying it right, listeners, instead of trying to deal with the whole world or even the whole Pacifica. So I think we're talking basically geographic, what Serene laid out, what was it, New York, New Jersey, parts of Connecticut, Pennsylvania. I don't think we go much further than that. But that's the kind of demographics that we're trying to compare ourselves to, at least in part. That's one of the things we want to do, to see, we don't have any people from Connecticut. Do we need them? I don't know. We just pointed out and things like that. And then, I don't think we get involved with all of Pacifica and all of the world because we have the internet. It's BAI stuff, and it's as originally written, they didn't even have internet. So I think we're dealing with people that can hear us on terrestrial radio mostly, even though nowadays with the COVID-19 stuff, we're doing everything on the phone. But one day we'll get back to in-person meetings. Hope it's not too long. Anybody
Serene
else?
For the stack.
Okay, Serene.
But I can wait. Since I've spoken before,
if there's anybody else. Anybody else? I think that means it's you, Serene.
Okay, so I'm going to read the bylaw article that applies, and I'll send the link out later. It's Article 8, Section 4, Committee of Inclusion. In addition, there shall be established in each foundation radio station area standing committees of the board to monitor the underrepresentation of communities in their respective radio station areas. These committees of inclusion shall include one director, and that's Ralph, and three LSB members, which in our case is William, Hazel, and Michael, from each radio station area. These are national committees, but they work locally. So we're actually a committee of the Pacifica National Board, but we focus on what's happening at WBAI. Okay. Who shall be elected by their respective LSBs, and such additional individuals as those four shall choose by a majority vote. The committees of inclusion will monitor both station programming and staffing in consultation with the LSB. They will also monitor the diversity of election candidates and work with the LSB's appropriate committees to improve the diversity of election candidates at the local and national level. These committees of inclusion shall monitor diversity participation in consultation with the general manager, local committees, and the board, the status of which will be published and maintained in each respective radio station area. Communities deemed to be underrepresented by the Committee of Inclusion will be identified, and the extent of their underrepresentation shall be communicated to the board, the respective LSBs, and any local outreach committees. Station managers and appropriate LSB committees will be expected to consider these communities in their future decisions about staffing, programming, and candidate outreach, subject to any applicable state and federal laws and regulations. All station managers and committees of inclusion will report to the board, that's the national board, and their respective LSBs quarterly on the status of diversity within their radio station areas. The board shall query and monitor radio station areas with identified underrepresented communities and any plans for addressing these underrepresented communities' increased participation. Where necessary, with due notice, the board will suggest and or direct managers and committees to implement specific measures to improve the status of underrepresented communities in their respective radio station areas. The board will assist and encourage station managers and committees of inclusion in finding new ways to improve recruitment efforts in their respective radio station areas.
Okay, thank you. So, I did it.
Michael White to the staff.
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
So another question I have about demographics is there's daytime populations and nighttime populations, or basically resident populations and workforce populations in most areas, and I'm wondering if we have any thoughts about that.
It's a thought. But we're talking about listeners, and most of those people that come to Manhattan to work, if that's what we're talking about, actually probably live in the listening area. So they're going to be considered and be able to listen and be able to participate if they wanted to anyway. So it's an interesting point, but we'll see.
I have a response to Michael.
Okay, go ahead.
If we do a survey, which would be a good way of figuring out who's listening and all kinds of other things, we can ask people whether they listen primarily. Although I think, as William mentioned, COVID has sort of changed the landscape of our lives. We can ask people whether they tend to listen more during the day or what portion of the day or at night, et cetera, and we can get a feel there, if in fact they are it'd be interesting if there are demographic changes based on the time of day.
Yes, and how we would communicate this to most people, we could do a card, we could do emails, but we certainly miss a lot of people with emails. So hopefully if we did some kind of card to be played on the radio, that might reach some people, giving them our information if they want to contact us, etc. Any other ideas on where we should be headed?
I would like to volunteer to take something on.
What is it that you want to take? Is there a particular thing you want to volunteer for?
Sure, and anyone, is welcome to work with me on this. Help is always great, but I think we can. I'd certainly be willing to begin begin taking a look at the demographics in terms of the staff and the programming. I think those two go hand in hand. If you're doing one, you may as well do the other, because, you know, you're looking at the same set of information. So if someone wants to volunteer to work on that with me, that's great.
Any volunteers?
Yeah, Ralph here.
I'm not.
I'll work with Shireen on that.
Okay.
Best I can.
Which will certainly
somebody
be
else. Somebody
okay,
else started. Absolutely. If somebody else started to speak, though, I mean, it doesn't have to be restricted to one person. There's always lots of work to go around.
I started to speak just because you were talking about demographics and programming as being one and the same thing, and I wasn't really sure what you were saying.
I don't think I said they were one and the same thing. I said we'd be looking at the same information to talk about the breakdown of the programming as opposed to the breakdown of the staff. I didn't say they were the same thing.
And it's you weren't talking about general area demographics. You were talking about the station, things at the station, and programs at the station. Right?
Right.
Not the population at large. Okay. Michael, anything else on that?
No.
Okay, thank you. So we got Ralph and Serene to work on the station info. I guess I could try to help. If you need some help, let me know. I'll help. Okay.
This is Maria. I want to interject for a moment. If you need anything translated from English to Spanish, I'm able to assist with that. And I did have a question about the staffing. I understand that there's a staffing freeze. Is that correct?
That's in terms of paid staff.
Mm-hmm.
Not, yeah.
And we don't have too many of them.
Okay.
We have hundreds of unpaid staff doing shows.
Right, volunteers and everything. But yeah, if there's anything that I can help with, meaning as in translations or using social media to get out any information, I'm more than happy to do so. I can help with that.
Absolutely.
Sounds very good. Okay. Anybody else with any ideas on what we want to pursue in the near future? Okay. Is anybody looking at the agenda? Is the next thing just to set the next meeting date?
There's new business in case someone wanted to bring up something.
Okay.
Although, I don't know. We're so new, everything is new.
I've been asking if people want to do things, so I didn't realize I was doing the next thing.
is this going to be a monthly, a weekly, a bi-monthly?
Well, that's our next topic, and I think it's the last topic, is next meeting, which would include do we want to set it up on a you know, sort of permanent basis or regular basis, let's say, if we do it, you know, from the ridiculous once a week, no, probably not, or twice every 2 weeks or once a month. We have to decide that. That kind of.
That's right.
Okay. Any? Well,
I would suggest the first Monday of every month.
Okay. Does anybody have an opinion on first Monday of every month?
I think that's great, and we can communicate in between, and, you know, people can render their opinion on what, you know.
Exactly. If there's anything of urgency or is time-sensitive, we have a timeline, then we can, you know, communicate by email, bring it up, and then take it from there. But having something consistent once a month is really more organized and gives people time to you know, to use the tools or work on whatever it is that we volunteer to do.
Okay, now I'm just looking at the calendar, and the first Monday of November is the evening before Election Day. Does that sound like some people might be busy with their election hearing? Or
can I have a proposal?
Okay.
So maybe we meet this month on the 26th, so we keep that that time free. Also, I think that's Black Solidarity Day, if I'm not incorrect, and there's no work, you know, there's a strike, so that would not be a good day for us to meet.
What, the 26th?
No, the Monday, November 2nd. So,
okay.
And, you know, things might be crazy on the 9th because, well, you know, a certain person who apparently has COVID, might not be happy with what happens on the 3rd, so we don't know what might be happening on the 9th. So maybe we can meet October 26th. What do you think, Maria?
So how about the second Monday of every month?
Oh, no, I like the idea of the first Monday. I just don't think the first Monday of November is Monday of November is good. So I was wondering if we could do the last Monday in October, leaving everybody free for whatever comes after, right after that election.
That's fine. That sounds like a good idea.
Okay, and then
although you like the second Monday of November was also a possibility.
Well, I think we're going to have a fair degree of chaos because there will be huge numbers of paper ballots in the mix. So I don't think we will have settled decisions by the 9th, and considering that someone is threatening to bring chaos if they don't win, I think we might just want to leave the 9th open because people may have other things they need to handle. I don't know. That's just my inclination.
Yes. And will you be
predicting more chaos after the election than immediately before?
Well, continued or different. But I'm sorry, Serene, at the viewer. I'm butting in.
Well, I mean, it's everybody's decision. I propose the 26th, which is the last week, the last Monday in, and 3 weeks from today. So we have some time to get a good amount of work done.
Yeah, I think I like that idea. And then if we find that we got lots of things we want to do, that leaves us more time in November rather than going later in November for the first meeting. Or the next meeting after October 26th. So I agree with October 26th.
Yeah,
I agree with October 26th as well. It's on my calendar.
Okay, that's Maria?
Yes.
Anybody else?
And
any
Hazel.
Problems?
The 26th is okay for me.
Okay, so we got 4 out of our 6. So I think that means that's what it is, the 26th of October, also 7 p.m. on Monday. And I think it's good that we could do the local meetings at 7 p.m. because then if we can get done in an hour and a half usually, they have national meetings of all kinds at 8:30. So at least we won't be overlapping and interfering with anybody who wants to be involved or needs to be involved in those. So I thought like 7 o'clock, October 26th. And then
good thinking.
Then maybe something else in November, but probably not. But then first Mondays. Okay. Did somebody just join?
No, that was my iPad.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking it's the sound from the phone system here. So, what I forgot to put down on the agenda is, was somebody else trying to speak? I'm sorry. No. What I forgot to put down was to have a pro tem secretary for tonight. So hopefully this is being recorded by the JPFTX people. Somebody.
if nobody else volunteers, I'll do it. Go back and
I was taking notes.
Some notes. You're taking notes? Oh, okay. Great. So you want to be, you're our, can I designate you our pro tem secretary for tonight for note purposes?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I think that's all we need to do tonight. Does anybody else have something they want to bring up about this committee? Well, I guess not. So I think we're done, and we'll meet again on October 26th, 7 p.m.
Excellent.
Thank you all very much.